Well, good evening. It's good to be able to come and to share this time with you for this weekend. Thank you very much for the invite and the opportunity to be here. And we look forward to a great time of fellowship together and trust that the Lord will bless our weekend and that the Holy Spirit will use His Word to speak to our hearts and stir our spirits and cause us to come closer to the Lord and to love Him perhaps more than we ever have before. So let's just take a moment right now and bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, as we bow before You tonight, we do so recognizing that apart from You, we can do nothing. We are totally dependent upon You. And we pray, Lord, that according to Your grace, that You would minister to us this weekend, that You would build us up in our most holy faith. We pray that You would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. We pray, Lord, that You would strengthen us with all power according to Your glorious might. We pray that You would clothe us this weekend and that we might be enabled to stand firm. Father, these are difficult days in which we live. These are trying and challenging days, and we need You and we need Your Word so much. And we pray that what we see and hear and think about this weekend might be useful in Your hands to moving us ahead, to living productive and fruitful Christian lives, that we would bring glory and honor to Your precious person. So, Lord, we pray that You then would help us to listen. I pray, Lord, that You would be with me, and that You would enable me to speak, not in my strength or wisdom, but as led by You, that I might be faithful in conveying Your Word accurately. We pray, Lord, that Your presence might fill us and be with us then this weekend. We pray in the lovely name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to take as our theme this weekend. But as we think of that theme, the key word in that theme is the word grow. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the idea of grow or growth can mean a number of different things. Grow can mean an increase in size, an increase in quality, an increase in value. Growth. Growth is a process. It's not something that just happens instantaneously. It's something that is spread out over a period of time and involves a number of different things. The idea of growth means a movement toward maturity. A movement toward maturity. When we think of a tree growing, we think of a crop, a harvest that comes as a result of that growth. Therefore, we think of the idea of fruitfulness. So really, as we look at this word grow, what we are considering and what we are looking at is this. Peter says, "Do not allow yourself to be led astray into error and become unstable, but instead grow. Keep moving ahead. Keep making progress. Keep maturing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, I realize that some of you might not be able to see my little pages that I put up here, but it may encourage everybody to move in and sit a little bit closer during the weekend so that you can get a good look at that. We are being called upon to grow. That is the key idea that we're looking at this weekend. We had the whole chapter read to us in 2 Peter chapter 3, because in this chapter he warns these dear believers of some of the problems, some of the difficulties that they're going to face as believers. And not only are there all kinds of outward attacks, but there's also the attack of error, and even error amongst themselves of false teachers. There are many things pulling us apart, pulling us away, tearing us down. he, near the beginning of his epistle, encourages them to grow. And we're going to take a look at that a little bit later on in 1 Peter chapter 1 there, the idea of growth and fruitfulness. In chapter 2, he says, sincerely desire the milk of the word, thereby it, that by it you may grow. And here in chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, please remember something as we talk about growth this weekend. The New Testament doesn't just discuss the theory of growth and the principles of growth and the how-to of growth, but it encourages us to grow. It commands us to grow. We are exhorted to grow. We are rebuked when we are not growing. In other words, the New Testament doesn't tell us work out a theory of growth, but the New Testament commands us to grow. And that's very important that we see that distinction. We as Christians are very, very good at theorizing and debating and splitting hairs and arguing. Like the Pharisees, we strain at every gnat, but unfortunately we swallow the camels. And some of those camels in our life, we allow ourselves to live substandard lives. We allow ourselves to be stagnant spiritually. We allow ourselves to be lukewarm. We allow ourselves to live passionless, un-Christ-like lives. So we're not going to talk simply about the theory of Christian growth. The encouragement for us is to grow. To grow. Another word for growth in the New Testament is the word sanctification. Sanctification. The word sanctification is used in two ways in the New Testament. On the one hand, at salvation, we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit unto Christ. In other words, we are separated, we are set apart. And it's something that is done to us. It's a once and for all final event. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us unto Christ. That's the first way that the word sanctification is used. The second way that it's used is of the lifelong process between salvation and between either death or when the Lord Jesus comes back to get us. And that process of growth is called sanctification. It's a process of growth in holiness. And the word sanctification is from the same root word as holy. So we are to make progress in holiness. We must grow in our sanctification. If we have any doubt as Christians whether we in fact should grow or not, we can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. And that will remove all doubt. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. That's a very powerful verse and a very direct verse. It says simply this, and this is the will of God for you, even your sanctification. In other words, growth is God's will for the Christian. God wills that you and I should not be stagnant in our Christian lives. God wills that you and I should grow. In other words, this is not a suggestion from God. This is a command from God. You and I must grow. I suppose the question that comes up into our minds and that we must think about then is, are you growing? Are you growing spiritually? Are you and I growing as Christians? How have you grown? In the last week, how have you grown? In the last month, how have you grown spiritually? We're going to think of two areas of growth, grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our personal, practical experience of appropriating God's grace and living out God's grace is vitally connected with knowledge, the knowledge of the Word of God. We cannot grow without having a solid knowledge of the Word of God. The call of our sessions together for this weekend will be grow. What's it going to be? Grow. Me? Yes, grow. You as well? Yes, grow. If I'm under 20, yes, grow. Well, what about if I'm over 60? Grow. 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 Well, I'm not married yet. Grow spiritually. Well, I am married and I've got kids and I'm very busy. Grow spiritually. The point of the conference? Grow. 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 Move ahead. Change. Make progress. Move toward maturity. Another way of saying it, I guess, would be what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of you. Lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of you. Now we mentioned that if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, you'll find that this is really the theme of his whole epistle. Growth. These are believers who are under attack. These are believers who are under persecution. These are believers who are having difficulty. These are believers who are surrounded by false teaching. These are believers who have many struggles. That sounds very akin to what you and I have to go through. And he says to them, the antidote to being led astray and becoming unstable is to grow. He begins his epistle in chapter 1 and verse 5 by saying that they must give all diligence or make every effort to add to their faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So he lists these seven things that must be added to their faith. You've come to faith in Christ. Wonderful, he says. You've trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Now, grow and continue to grow. Grow and continue to move ahead. Add to your faith, he says, these seven character qualities. Verse 8 says, if these things are yours and abound, they will keep you from being barren and unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the call, the encouragement there is to grow towards fruitfulness, towards productiveness. Grow so that you might be fruitful. In John chapter 15, one of my favorite passages, I think, from the Gospels. In John chapter 15, Jesus uses a very powerful illustration. And he says, I am the vine. You, my disciples, are simply the branches. You are dependent on me. I am not dependent on you. I am the vine. You must remain in me, because I am the source and the fountain of your life. So remain in me, abide in me, keep connected with me. And he goes on to explain that the reason that we are to stick very close to him, to walk with him in close fellowship, is so that we will glorify the Father by bearing much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, he says in verse 8, that you bear much fruit. In other words, the call for the disciple, the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to what? To beg pardon? Thank you. To bear fruit. He says, this is how you glorify my Father. Now, think about it for a minute. If I am not bearing spiritual fruit, am I glorifying my Father. No. It's a call to fruitfulness. How do I get to be fruitful? How do I get to be fruitful? Grow. If you're not growing, you won't be fruitful. So the point of this weekend is grow. Grow. Me? Yes. You. Grow. Each one of us. Grow. Are you growing? Are you growing? What an important question for us to consider. Galatians chapter 5 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. We're called again to fruitfulness. And in Galatians chapter 5, a wonderful passage of Christian and spiritual growth, we are told that it is indispensable that we walk in the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing or growing in the knowledge of God. We're called to grow. We're called to increase. We're called to move toward maturity. We're called to make progress. You say, well, that's all fine and dandy. I understand. You've repeated yourself enough. I know what the point is. You're saying we ought to grow. All right, enough already. But how? How? It's one thing for me to tell you, you must. But how? How am I going to grow? How can I grow spiritually? Well, I suppose there's a number of different ways of answering that question. And I suppose that if we were to summarize the New Testament teaching on the subject of growth and sanctification, there's a number of ways that we could present this. I wish to share with you this weekend some very helpful insights from a book that has challenged and blessed me over the past few years, a book called Changed Into His Image by Jim Berg. Changed Into His Image by Jim Berg. In the book, he simply tries to set out in a very simple and helpful outline the process of growth and of change that we are called to in the New Testament. And what we want to do then this weekend is to address three major areas if you and I are going to grow as Christians. How am I going to grow? Well, there's three things that we've got to deal with, that we've got to think about, we've got to talk about, that we've got to take some action on. Here are the three areas. We need to mortify the flesh, meditate on the Word of God, and manifest Christ-likeness. So the three basic words that we're going to look at in terms of how do I grow, mortify, meditate, and manifest. Mortify the flesh, and we're going to talk about that and what that means. Meditate on the Word of God, and we'll see it so much more than simply memorizing a couple of Bible verses. There's so much more to this issue of meditating. And thirdly, to manifest Christ-likeness. To manifest the character of Christ in us. That we more and more become conformed to the picture of who He is. And that we become less and less like the world in which we live. Now, I want to just place in parentheses an assumption that I'm making. I am assuming that everyone here is already a true Christian. I'm assuming that everyone here is born again by the Spirit of God, that you have been convicted of your sin, you have been convicted of your need of the Savior, that you have come to repentance, that you have come to a godly sorrow as a result of your sin and sinfulness, and that you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your God and Savior, trusting Him in His perfect life and death and resurrection, and that you have committed yourself to live in submission to Him, under the authority of His will, as expressed in the Bible, which is His Word, and that you are looking forward, eagerly anticipating the soon return of the Lord, to take you to be with Him forever. I'm assuming that. If you are not a Christian, if you know that you're not a Christian, or if you're not sure whether you're a Christian, I would encourage you to confide in someone here at the camp this weekend. I would encourage you to speak to somebody that you know to be a genuine Christian, and to ask them to talk with you, to pray with you. It's a very serious issue. It's the most serious issue that any human being can ever settle in their life. The issue of whether or not they are a Christian, whether they know the Lord. Now, the reason I'm assuming that everyone here is a Christian is because no one can grow spiritually unless you are a Christian. You cannot grow if you've never begun. You cannot grow spiritually without the help of the Holy Spirit, because the New Testament speaks of sanctification and spiritual growth in terms of the work of the Spirit of God within our hearts, within our minds, within our lives. If you do not have the work of the Spirit in you, indwelling in you, you will find it extremely frustrating to try and implement the things that we will talk about this weekend. You will become very frustrated because you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that frustration may lead you to legalism, where people come to the conclusion, these standards that the Scripture give us are simply impossible, I'll never reach them, so I invent some kind of outward form or show by which I judge my spirituality. And if I do these five or six things that I have invented and written down and made as rules, then I will be spiritual. So I am assuming then that everyone here is a Christian, born again of the Spirit, because without the Spirit of God, you cannot grow spiritually. I'm also assuming that you're here this weekend because you really want to get into some serious study and learning of the Scripture. In fact, I'm assuming that you're so serious about this weekend that you came hoping that some Scripture memory work would be assigned. I'm assuming that. Now, because I am proceeding on that assumption, and because nobody told me anything to the contrary, I'd like you to take one of these little scripture memory slips, and on it, you will find that there are six portions of scripture. Six. I wish I'd taken the wrong turn back there. The idea is for you to select two of the portions of Scripture that are listed here, and to try and commit them to memory. Now, there's varying lengths. One portion here is the verse that we quoted from 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And I'm assuming that everybody can learn that one, because it's really short. Some of them are a bit longer. Now, Kevin is not allowed to select 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 11, because I know that he already has memorized this. So he's got to select one of the other ones. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you each to take one of these little slips of paper and to circle two of them and to work on the scripture memory during the weekend. Take some time to help each other as you work your way through it, and to see if by Sunday afternoon we can all know at least two. Now, if you're ambitious and you want to memorize all six, that's great. That's great too. That would be excellent if somebody would do that. So Rob, would you like to grab these and just hand them around? Try and make sure everybody gets one. And lock the door so nobody runs out the back. If you take two slips of paper, you'll be able to learn them twice as fast. Make sure John gets one in the corner there. I saw him trying to hide back there. Even the sound recording man has to get one. He's a sound man. As we work our way through this weekend, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, as well as James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, are going to be referred to often. And what we're going to do is to look at those two passages of Scripture very quickly to see how that they, in fact, give to us these three major things that we need to do in order to grow. Mortify the flesh, meditate on God's Word, and manifest Christ's likeness. Ephesians chapter 4 then, verses 22 through 24. The first thing that we read there in verse 22 of Ephesians 4 is that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. To put off the old man. That statement there is one of those statements that could be used as a parallel statement for mortifying the flesh. Basically, we're talking about the same thing here when we talk about putting off the old man. Mortify the flesh, put off the old man. Secondly, we read in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This corresponds to our second point in terms of meditating on God's Word. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now once again, you will find a parallel passage to this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where very similar thoughts are expressed to us there, that we are not to be conformed to the world. We are to put off the old man. We are to mortify the flesh. But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That our mind is to be changed. That our mind is to be renewed, transformed, completely renovated from the inside out. Put off the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's so important because the scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. The battle is very often fought or lost in the mind. So the mind is very important in terms of Christian growth. We have to engage the mind. That's why when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, you will find the word knowledge used repeatedly in that epistle. Because he says we need to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And ignorance is not a hallmark of spirituality. We must grow in our understanding. We must study the Word of God with all diligence, with all that is within us. We have to work hard to increase and grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. And we will see this emphasized again and again in the Scriptures. Put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And this corresponds to our third major responsibility, to manifest Christ-likeness, to put on the new man. And we'll talk about that at some length later on in terms of what does that mean and how do we go about putting on the new man, this new nature that we have been given in Christ. Well, let's turn to James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. And once again, we will see the same three ideas expressed to us in James, as we've seen here in Ephesians. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Lay aside, put off, mortify or put to death that which is filthy and wicked. Same thought again. If we are going to grow spiritually, we have to begin by restraining the flesh. You see, sin will keep you from God's word. Sin will keep you from prayer. A guilty conscience cannot come with joy before the Father to worship. We will not grow spiritually. We will not go anywhere in our Christian lives as long as sin is running rampant in our lives. We have to begin by restraining the flesh, by mortifying the flesh. There's no way around that. It's something that we as human beings don't like to hear. Oh, how do I grow spiritually? Tell you what. Let's read a good book on how to grow spiritually. Right. Well, let's go to conference. Let's go to a seminar. Let's buy a tape. I heard there's a good video in the Christian bookstore about how to grow spiritually. And we view those things, we listen to those things, we read those things, and all we do is we theorize about Christian growth. The New Testament does not say, draw up a nice theory of Christian growth, put it on your wall, and read it occasionally. No, it says, grow. 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 Don't theorize. Grow. And of course, our growth has to be rooted in the knowledge of God's Word. And the place that the Word of God begins with us is to mortify the flesh. Rein it in. Restrain it. Do not allow your old nature to rule you. And we'll see that the Scripture puts that so strongly in so many Scriptures. Lay apart all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Mortify the flesh. Second major principle that James talks about. He says, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Paul puts it this way. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. We have to meditate on God's word. God's word has to percolate down through to the very core of our being. God's word has to become your standard, not just in theory, not just your local fellowship's standard, not just the standard that people lived according to in missionary biographies. It has to become your standard. It has to become your standard at home. It has to become your standard at work. It has to become your standard at school. It has to become your standard on the ice playing hockey. It has to become your standard driving in rush hour traffic. It has to become your standard when no one else is watching. Receive the engrafted word. Meditate on God's word. Chew it over. Think on it. Let it percolate through every fiber of your being. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly, overflowingly. It has to become your standard if you are going to grow spiritually. You might have grown up in a Christian family, and it might be your parents' standard, but it has to become your standard. You might have had a grandfather that was a preacher, but the Word of God has to become your standard, not just his standard. you might have a Christian in your life that you admire and look up to. But the Word of God must become your standard and not just be their standard. We have to meditate, receive the engrafted Word. The third aspect that James talks about here, verse 22, he says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." He calls us to manifest Christ-likeness. Jesus said that He came to do the will of His Father. On one occasion, the disciples were amazed after they got back from going into the town to get something to eat, and they'd left Jesus behind at the well, and they get back and they offer Him food and drink. And He says, "My food and drink is to do the will of Him who sent me." And they don't get it, do they? Well, who gave Him something to eat? You know, they're always thinking on the physical realm. And He's got to hit them over the head, as it were, and say, "I'm not talking about physical things here. I'm talking about my life's work and purpose. My desire, my will, my motivation is to do the will of Him who sent me." To what? To do it. To do it. Our Lord Jesus' life is characterized by obedience and by humility. Obedience and humility. And we will never become those who do, who obey, unless the character of Christ is being formed in us. Because to obey God and to humble ourselves under His mighty hand, declaring our utter dependence on Him, is not natural to the fallen human heart. It is the very antithesis of who and what we are. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 that the natural mind is hostile to God. It does not submit itself to the law of God, neither indeed can it do so. The natural fallen human mind and heart opposes God. It doesn't submit to God. It doesn't declare its dependency on God. It is not humble. It is proud. And we do not want to obey. We want to do things our own way. We are called upon to manifest Christ-likeness. Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. Not just theorizing, but putting into practice. So the point of this weekend is grow. Grow. Let's not just theorize about growing. Let's grow. Let us put into practice growth. May God give us all grace that something might begin to stir in our hearts and souls this weekend, which will become a lifelong pursuit of growth. That you and I will have a passionate desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we will not be content to stagnate. That we will not be content to stay as we are. But that we will have a holy passion to grow. To mortify the flesh, to meditate on God's Word, and to manifest Christ-likeness. Do you know, as we grow, the New Testament indicates that this process of growth, this process of sanctification, is in fact a cooperative venture between the Christian and the Holy Spirit. And as we grow, as we apply ourselves, as we give all diligence, we recognize the hand of the Spirit moving in our heart. The credit and the glory goes to Him. But as we grow and our desire to grow strengthens, we recognize that the Holy Spirit responds to us in increasing that desire, in enabling us to restrain the flesh. The Holy Spirit works in us as we desire to meditate on God's Word by illuminating my mind so that I can understand the Word. The Holy Spirit responds by working in us and producing the character of Christ by working in us the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit and the character of Christ is one and the same thing. And so this business of Christian growth is not something that I can do in my own flesh, in my own wisdom. It can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it can only be done according to the written, revealed will and Word of God. But I must begin by mortifying my flesh, reining it in, restraining it. Paul says in Romans 13, make no provision for the fulfillment of the flesh. We need to meditate seriously on God's Word, and we need to manifest Christ-likeness. Will you join me in praying, please? Father, you have placed before us tonight a large challenge, and we confess that we are not sufficient for the task. But we thank you tonight that because our sanctification is your will for us, you have also given to each one of your children the indwelling Holy Spirit, and that by your indwelling presence, you promise us the enabling, the power that we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You promise to work in us your great work, to make us more holy, to make us more like what you are. We marvel at you, Lord. You command us to be holy, but we're not able to. Then you draw alongside as the paraclete, the comforter, and you strengthen and enable us. You place the desire within us. You stir us up, and you cause us to take that first baby step forward in growth, and you respond, wonder of wonders, by blessing us and encouraging us and increasing the desire. And the more that we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the more that you bless and encourage and increase that desire. Then you reward us. Lord, we marvel at your grace and your goodness. We pray that this weekend might be such a time of fruitfulness in our lives that you would challenge us deeply, that you would shake us out of apathy, that you would shake us out of the rut that we have gotten into, that you would shake us out of lethargy, that you would give us a discontent with where we are at, and drive us forward to long to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with us, Lord. Stir us up. Prod us forward. We pray in Jesus' name.